Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago, and I just got back from Spain. In fact, Monday Motivation posted a little later than usual because, boy oh boy, Rabbi's slightly tired catching up, recovering from an absolutely spectacular, stupendous, unbelievable, exciting, inspiring, educational, life-changing journey to Spain. And I want to share it with you. Is that a deal? Okay, so again, everyone, I missed last week because I was getting ready for the trip and it was impossible to record, but we're back this week. Would like everyone to like and subscribe to the podcast and share with everyone because there's great stuff coming our way here with Monday Motivation, sharing some very inspirational stuff that I think can touch the hearts and minds of many Jews out there, and would love for you to help me spread it far and wide. All right. So from Sunday, May 14th, 2023 to Sunday, May 21st, 2023, over 1,000 Jews from around the globe descended upon Toledo, Spain as our major locus, our home base, as you will, for the Olami International Mentorship Summit. Any of the participants who went from around the world had to engage in a mentorship program. They were chosen. It was an incredible experience where they learned with local members of the Jewish community various lessons together and developed a very beautiful connection in Torah, in business, in life. And only those who fulfilled that mentorship were able to attend the summit, which was highly subsidized. An incredible, incredible trip. And Olami is really paving the way in Jewish education, Jewish inspiration, Jewish identity for the next generation. It was honestly a real honor and privilege to be there. Not every group in our overall network was invited to participate. So it was a tremendous honor for Project 613 to be invited. I was even further honored to be a bus leader, which was thrilling and truly incredible, with groups from Los Angeles, Eish Lit, led by the incredible Melul family. Rebbetzin Melul was on the trip, as well as a group from Florida, Miami, Yehudi, another great, great Jewish educational outreach group in Miami. And I had the pleasure of being with Rabbi Jacob Kahn. And so to be the bus leader was an honor, fantastic students, and really a fantastic staff to lead this trip. So I want to do a few things today. In preparation for the podcast, I wrote down just the themes, not even the facts, just the basic themes of what I could talk about. And in about 2 minutes, I came up with 14 different themes. All right. So don't worry. We're going to try to limit it here to 20 minutes like usual. And so I thought first what we'd do is like this. We are going to talk about the trip itself, talk about how the education happened, and with that, go through each of the three cities where we toured and thematically cover what those were. And from there, to jump off to different a number of those different themes, and finishing off with Jewish footsteps in Spain and what that means and how powerful that is. All right, so here we go. So the main three cities that we visited were Segovia, Madrid, and Toledo. Now, I'm going to say Toledo. Some people, if I said Toledo, they'll think Ohio. And if I say Toledo, people think you're such a pretender, Rabbi. You don't speak Spanish. You're trying to sound Spanish. And that's actually true. I don't speak Spanish. But we're going to call it Toledo anyway, just so you know. I'm not talking about Toledo, Ohio. And the trip educationally, I have to say, I was incredibly proud to be part of this educational masterpiece. What was achieved in the Olami Summit 2023 in Spain should be modeled by all educational touring around the world, certainly in the Jewish world and even for the non-Jewish world. It was absolutely spectacular. We had a master tour guide named Rabbi Aubrey Hirsch, which I fully recommend his podcast, History for the Curious. Aubrey, A-U-B-R-E-Y, Hirsch, H-E-R-S-H. He's British. He's lovingly with a British humor. And each of the days of the touring, he gave us an introduction to the day. But not only that, he came up with an educational model about how to understand the three cities we are going to. And he based it on the ultimate line in Torah of dedication to our Judaism, which is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. And then after that, we say, Ve'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, love Hashem, your God, b'chol levavcha, with all your heart, u'v'chol nafshecha, with all your soul, u'v'chol miyadecha, and with all your resources, with all your might. And he took these three qualifications, three descriptions about how we're supposed to serve Hashem, and he applied each of them in order to the cities that we are going, that we were visiting. The first one is b'chol levavcha, with all of your heart, with all of your passion. Segovia was the city in which Queen Isabella crowned herself, in which she was the one that took over the kingdom of Castile and eventually was set up to marry King Ferdinand of Aragon. And they made what one could say is a united Spain, or a more united Spain. What we don't realize is that countries back then weren't really united. There was a bunch of smaller mini states, but this concept of a united Spain didn't really exist, but this was one of the first major moves towards it. As we said in a previous podcast about Spain a few weeks ago on April 24th, the one who made the match was Avram Sr., Rabbi Avram Sr., one of the leading rabbis of the city, and we discussed him last time. B'chol levavcha means with all of your passion. Segovia represents the question of how do we make choices. Avram Sr. and the Abarbanel were the two great leaders of the Jewish people in Spain at the time, and they also were the two main advisors of Queen Isabel and King Ferdinand. And again, in the previous podcast, I went through all of the details of this, but basically, when the decree went down, they had an opportunity, they bribed, the bribe didn't work, and then they either had to leave or stay and convert. And believe it or not, Rav Avram Sr., one of the great rabbis of the country, decided to convert and stay. They made a big show of it, and he died within a year. It was a devastating final blow for many of the Jews. He had rationalizations, and one of the powerful things that we saw was a play, a fictitious play, but what that discussion would have been between Avram Sr. and Don Yitzhak Abarbanel, and what choices it were. Abarbanel did not budge, and even though he was allowed to stay, even with a minion, he left and took thousands with him. Now, so Segovia was all about b'chol levavcha, all of your heart, all of your passion. How are you going to make choices? Where does your passion lie? Where is your loyalty? And that was the theme of Segovia. Then we go on to b'chol nafshecha, with all your soul, literally with your life. And that clearly was Madrid. Now, what people don't realize about Madrid, and I, again, until I started doing these trips, I didn't know this myself. So it's fascinating to learn this. Madrid was not always the capital of Spain. Madrid only became the capital of Spain after the Jews had left. After the Jews had left in 1492. And so Madrid was not necessarily significant for the Jews when we were in Spain. But boy, oh boy, was it very significant for the Jews who remained afterwards, who were conversos, who had converted to Christianity, who became known in Spain as, quote-unquote, the new Christians, and who were allowed full rights, but then were persecuted mercilessly if they were backsliding or hiding their Judaism in any way. And there were hundreds of thousands of these conversos. The old Christians never fully accepted the new Christians. The church very much wanted to. But the secular government and really the people did not accept these new Christians, which is darned if you do, darned if you don't. If you know, they did what they were supposed to. They converted, but still they were always suspected of being backsliding Christians. Ultimately, that was the reason for the expulsion in 1492, because with Jews there, and still many of them close relatives, it was too much influence on the quote-unquote new Christians, and therefore the Jews needed to be kicked out. That was the official rationalization of the expulsion. And so Madrid is the city, not of Jewish life, but of converso life, and the ramifications of the Inquisition that started in 1478 and went on for hundreds of years. And we focused on an incredible painting of the auto de fe of 1680. Now, it sounds crazy, but it looks like a Where's Waldo. It's so detailed. And it is absolutely incredible, incredible painting of describing, depicting the auto de fe. The auto de fe is translated as the act of faith. The act of faith in which prisoners were gathered from all over Spain, backsliding Christians who did anything, something to be Jewish. And the torture that these accused underwent was beyond description. I do not want to seem gory, but there is actually an Inquisition torture museum, three of them in the country. We actually visited it as an optional activity just in Toledo when our tour was over on Friday. And we saw how human ingenuity was used not for making the world a better place, but for making the world a more cruel place. And therefore, these conversos who were accused, were guilty until proven innocent, had no defense, and therefore were tortured until they confessed. It was an absolute brutal experience, and then they were given the opportunity to see the light and to admit their mistakes in these auto de fes where they would gather hundreds of the accused, and it was like a Super Bowl festival that would gather, and there was a major one in Madrid in 1680. And that was the theme of that day in Madrid. B'chol nafshecha, with all of your soul, would you be willing to give your soul, your life, for your dedication to God? Now, I got news for you. I consider myself a very faithful and loyal Jew. After walking through that torture museum, I think I would last maybe 10 seconds. Now, again, I don't know. I don't know. It's, you know, Monday morning quarterback. I'd love to say, yeah, sure, I'd undergo torture and still stay faithful. But my goodness, they were cruel. And so that was the theme of Madrid. B'chol nafshecha, are we willing to give our lives for Judaism? A very, very lofty, lofty ideal. Okay, and the third city we visited was Toledo. And Toledo, there's a very important caveat. A very important caveat is that we didn't want the trip to be depressing. First of all, there was a lot of other fun activities on the trip as well. But we did not want the trip to be depressing. And if we would just leave Spain feeling that, oh, we were persecuted, we would be missing the main point. The main point of Spain, at least much of it, could be discovered in our tour of Toledo. Toledo was the great city of Chochmah, of wisdom, of Jewish wisdom, of what the golden age of Jewish Spain truly meant. That today's Torah cannot be understood without the Rosh, or the Tur, or the Rashba, or Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, who specifically lived in Toledo, or the Ran, or the Rif, or you name it. The greatest, greatest of the Rishonim, of the rabbis that explained the Talmud, lived in Spain. And much of Jewish learning can be based on our experience in Spain. So even though they kicked us out, we achieved greatness in Spain. And one of the key points was, and the themes of anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism classically has two expressions. They can beat us to death, and they can love us to death. And unfortunately, they've chosen the beating us to death too many times throughout history. But I want to tell you something. Which is more effective? Beating us to death or loving us to death? Accepting us and saying, hey, Jew, come be part of us. Which one do we hold on longer to? And so I'd like to share with you this unbelievable insight that I had. You know, this auto de fe, when we went to the Plaza Mayor, the major plaza in Spain, and literally the same place where they were torturing us years ago is the same place that we were standing right just a few days ago. And one of the major auto de fe was in 1680, nearly 200 years after the Jews were kicked out. So think about this, ladies and gentlemen. 1680, almost 200 years later, you have new Christians being accused of backsliding. Their grandparents weren't Jewish. Their great-grandparents weren't Jewish. Their great-great-great-grandparents weren't Jewish. So what in the world were they holding on to? Seriously, what did they know? There was no davening. There was no anything. There was any public display of Judaism was crushed with an iron, torturous fist. What are they accused of in 1680? And the answer is, the spark of a Jew cannot easily be put out. The spark of a Jew cannot easily be put out. And so therefore the converso families would, when the child would become older, 15, 16, take them to a secluded place, maybe in the basement, and tell them that they too were Jewish from years ago. And they would try to keep certain mitzvahs that were easy and inexplicable, were unnoticeable. One was the fast of Esther. The Anusim, the conversos, loved Queen Esther because she was someone who kept her Judaism hidden in front of King Ahasuerus. She was their role model. And so they fasted the fast of Esther. The day before Purim is a minor fast day. And that was something that they celebrated. Obviously, they could not keep Shabbat, but they tried to do any little thing that they could do to keep their Judaism. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. These Jews who don't even remember anything from generations ago are still trying to hold on to these things. And yet, in America right now, we are facing a total meltdown of Jewish identity, unseen ever in Jewish history from Mount Sinai till now. Where over 70 and almost 80% of our young people are marrying out and know nothing, almost nothing. And there were many groups on this trip. And I saw the Sephardic Jews. It's hard to overgeneralize. But honestly, the Sephardic Jews from around the world had a much stronger connection to their Judaism than the American Jewish contingency. And I'm not blaming the American Jewish contingency, but I'm bringing this out to show that if the non-Jews would figure it out, it's much better for them if they want to destroy us by hugging us to death than to beating us to death. When they try to beat us to death, Jews hold on to their Judaism by fasting the fast of Esther for 200 years. 200 years later, and the Inquisition didn't end till 1834. And yet somehow, when we are accepted and loved, we're able to give it all up. And we could say much more about that, but I want to finish on a very powerful idea. They tried to wipe us out of Spain, to make Spain Judenrein. And in fact, the Nazis looked to the Spaniards to see how do we destroy a culture and wipe it all out. And the only reason why Nazis were not successful is because they only were in power from 1933 to 1945, 12 years. They did a great job, quote unquote. But they couldn't finish it up because they didn't have time. But that was their goal. How do you wipe out the Jews? Look to what Spain did. And yet, 1,000 Jews from around the world who are growing in their Judaism, who said, enough to the assimilation, enough to not knowing who we are, enough to boring Judaism. I want to plug in. I want to grow. I want to maximize my potential as a Jew. And 1,000 Jews descended upon Spain in that vein. And we could not help but notice 1,000+ Jews, the largest contingency of Jews coming back to Spain, learning Torah, dancing, singing, keeping Shabbos, with the ultimate victory of history, the victory against the cruelty of those Dominican friars of the Catholic Church, the cruelty of all those in Spain who kicked us out, who took everything we had, who stole everything we had. There's only one thing you could not steal. You could not steal our identity. And we're just getting going. Because those 1,000 Jews are on fire right now. And we're going to keep growing. And we're going to keep declaring that there is nothing greater on planet Earth. There's no greater privilege than being Jewish. Thank you for coming on this journey with us. And God willing, this inspiration will continue to grow for us and for all of the Jewish people. God bless. We'll see you back right here for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.